Jesus went to the cross not to excuse sin. That's not what grace means. Jesus went to the cross not to excuse it, but to forgive it. He came to forgive it, not excuse it. His resurrection message is the same as his Father's has always been. Love God and walk in his ways. It's really simple. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love God and you walk in his ways. What a prescription, huh? Here's Deuteronomy 30, paraphrased from the Message. It is up to us and our children to attend. Now remember, this is God speaking. It is up to us and our children to attend the revealed Word of God. Here's what will happen. While you're out there doing life your own way, being tossed about by every circumstance, and you finally decide to examine the Scripture and see how I've laid out the blessings and the curses, and you and your children take them seriously and come back to God, your God, and obey him with all of your heart and soul according to everything that I command you, God, your God, will restore everything you lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces of your life. No matter how far away you stray, God, your God, will restore you to your rightful place with the faithful. He will give you a good life and prosper you more than all that have gone on before you. God, your God, will cut away the thick calluses of your heart and your children's hearts, freeing you to love God, your God, with all your whole heart and soul, and live. I mean, really live. God, your God, will put all the curses on your enemies who have been out to get you, and you will make a new start, listening obediently to God, keeping all his commands that I've given you in my word. God, your God, will outdo himself in making things go well for you. You will enjoy an all-around good life. Yes, God will start enjoying you again, making things go well for you, just as he's done for all those who've walked obediently before you. But only if you listen obediently to God, your God, and keep the commandment written in the Scriptures. Nothing half-hearted here. You must return to God, your God, totally, heart and soul, holding nothing back. This commandment that I'm giving you today isn't too much for you. It's not out of your reach. It's not on a high mountain. You don't have to hire somebody to climb to the peak and bring it down to your level and explain it before you so that you can live it. No. The word is right here and now, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as near as the heart in your chest. Just do it. Look at what I've done for you today. I've placed in front of you life and good, death and evil. And I command you today, love God, your God, walk in his ways. Keep his rules so that you will live, really live. I mean, live exuberantly, blessed by God, your God, and the world in which you live. But I warn you, if you have a change of heart, refuse to listen obediently, and willfully go off and do your own thing, you will most certainly die. You won't last long in this world. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I place before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your children will live. And love God, your God. Listen obediently to him, firmly embracing him. Oh yes, he is life itself, a long life settled on the soil that God, your God, has given you to live in. Folks, Old Testament, New Testament, any testament. That's advice from our great physician, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God. Thank God that it is now being read in the New Testament for grace and mercy. That Jesus came to forgive sin, not excuse it, not give you this liberty to go and sin any way that you desire, but he came that you might have life and life more abundantly. He came to give you a prescription of repentance so that you can come and walk in his ways and have abundant life now. Not in the sweet by and by, but right now. Listen, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't leave this place today. without doing business with God. And you don't have to come up here and stand up front, but you just grab someone, anyone that you know in here that knows Jesus Christ, and they will take you somewhere and pray. But don't you dare miss out on the greatest gift that's ever been offered to mankind. Don't let your pride stand in the way. It's all about salvation. Resurrection is all about salvation, for then it has meaning. Do business with God while you still can. Okay. Now for all you saved people. Beginning next week, I'm going to start preaching on a series of walk through the Bible. I really believe that God has led me to bring to our attention the story of the Bible. And it won't be in length. I want to talk about creation, then Noah, then Abraham, and then the Ten Commandments with Moses, the David, Babylon, Persia, Greeks, Rome, leading up to Jesus, and then the book of Acts and Revelation. Just to bring us a fresh revelation of our heritage, a fresh revelation of all of history, and bring us a faith level, I pray, that will increase in the times that we face ahead. So pray that I would be sensitive to what God wants to share in those arenas to bring the Bible to life and bring, again, truth to the forefront. So let's pray. Father, today as we talk about being saved and what it means to have resurrection life, let my words be few, and may your Spirit be full. Holy Spirit, I pray you bring this message and keep me out of the way in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 4, we're at a great place to start here today. Verses 1 through 12, 21, and 29 through 33. Take yourself back, really not that long ago, 2,000 years. In the course of history, it's not that far, is it? Most of you from school remember Alexander the Great and all of his conquering, and all of the Greek world was changed, and that's why we got the Bible in Greek and all that stuff, right? It's easy to think of him in history, but it's a little bit harder to think of Jesus in history, even though Alexander was well before Jesus. I want you to go back, and I want you to hear these words as they first heard them. And as they were speaking to the people, these are the disciples. These are the ones that witnessed Jesus being here in the flesh. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them. The church. Being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and they were proclaiming, like we are right now, in Jesus, resurrection. The resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them. And they put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message, they believed. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. See, they didn't let pride get in the way. And it came about on the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly descent. And when they had placed them in the center, see, Christians will always be the center of attention, good or bad. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? Done what? Healed a man? Hey, you can't do that in the New Testament. That's Old Testament. That was just God Himself. We can't do that. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, hey, there's your answer right there, why he could do what he did, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we're on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, well, let it be known to all of you and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, in this name, this man stands here before you in good health. See, now Jesus is up in heaven. Who did it? the power of Christ in and through Peter and John. He is the stone which was rejected by you. Where are you today in your belief about the Holy Spirit living in you and the power that resides in you? See, Jesus is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. Verse 12. And there is salvation. That means deliverance from death, hell, the grave, sickness, demonic oppression. There is nothing cut back. There is no bargain basement thing here. Jesus did it all. He didn't just give you a ticket to heaven, or he would have just came back, got us, and brought us up. He gave us you salvation. That means deliverance from sickness, yes. Disease, yes. Oppression from demons, yes. Fear, rejection. All of that he took to the cross. Not for the sweet by and by. You're not going to need it in the sweet by and by. There's salvation. That means for today. Today is the day of salvation. In no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we can be delivered from all this stuff. We can't get up here and start laying hands on people and getting them well. It won't happen. You don't have that power. But the Holy Spirit in you does as you yield. Verse 21, and when they threatened them further, okay, because they were doing what even the church today tells us we shouldn't do. It died somehow with the apostles. These were the only guys it was for. So why did they write about it and tell us about it? They let them go, finding no basis on which they might punish them on account of the people. Why? Because they were all glorifying God for what happened. See, there's one thing that people can't deny, and that's experience. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, what's happening to me? I don't believe in that. It happens to us all the time. If you will just yield and allow yourself the truth to set you free, and your pride gets out of the way and your traditions get out of the way, God will deliver to you on a daily basis, to your coworkers and the people around you, words and actions and joy and things that you just don't have to give to them. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, listen, they're saying to God, as we testify, Lord, people aren't going to just come to head knowledge. They need a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, it's not in the persuasiveness of my words, but it's in the demonstration of the power. The church has lost its demonstration. It's not demonstrative anymore. We're just quiet and reserved, and it's okay. Don't upset the apple cart. Don't shake the place. Don't shake the place. Well, let me tell you something. And when they had prayed, when they stood together and they prayed fervently, excitedly, expectantly, the place where they had gathered was shaken. It was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. See, they couldn't do any of this church stuff we're doing today without the Holy Ghost. Oh, you can do church, and you can do religion, and you can bring a message, and you can bring it to cold hearts, and they can remain cold. But they're going to get on fire when the Holy Spirit of fire comes on you, and the passion comes forth, and the lack of complacency gets dispersed, and you come with the life of Jesus. People won't be able to help but be attracted to that exuberance, to the life. There's life in expression. When they had prayed, the place where they gathered was shaken, and they were all filled and began to speak the word of God with what? Boldness. Not timidly, not shy, not without power, not without the backing of God behind them. Jesus is indeed risen. I'm going to ask you a question. How did you feel on the inside? I'm asking you a question right now. How did you feel on the inside when you heard this scripture being read? How did you feel? How did you feel? Was your heart burning? Was it leaping? Was it excited just a little bit? like the two disciples who were walking to Emmaus when they heard the words of the risen Christ? Luke 24:32. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? While he was explaining the scriptures to us? I represent Jesus Christ, folks. So do you. And when you read the written word, when you explain the written word, when the Spirit, the anointing comes upon you and you give the written word, it ought to make a Christian who's got the Holy Spirit inside them burn. When God connects with God in you, it burns. It's the fire. It's the baptism of fire. That's what he was talking about. That's what John was talking about. Locust, wild honey, loincloth out there. Woo! Repent for the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't sitting back going, I'm sorry, if you want to repent, come on and come down to the water. The fire of the Holy Spirit was burning inside of him. Peter and John, the fire of the Holy Spirit, their shadow was healing people. It was burning inside. The scriptures were being read. They were being fulfilled right in front of their eyes. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, should not there be a burning or an excitement generated in you when the Word of God presents itself? Much like what occurred with John the Baptist, who leapt in his mother's womb when Jesus was in the womb next door. Right? John the Baptist was in the womb, and Jesus was in the womb next door, and womb met womb. And what happened, though? See, forget that part. What happened? Is there life at conception? John leaped. A baby leaps in the mother's womb. Where's the zeal, folks? Where's the passion? Where's the power? Is it just good reading? Is that all it was meant to be? Literature for us to read to build up our most holy faith, so that when we face a trial or a temptation or a tribulation or someone who's suffering or someone who needs to be healed or somebody needs to be saved, that we can just simply read them a word without offering them what we have? Silver and gold, that have I. What I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Where is that anymore? Are people going to just get attracted to our flashy lights and electronics and changes in the way we do music and you know, programs that where we can serve? And, you know, there's nothing wrong with all of those things and missions and everything else like that, but we need Jesus and we need it bad. We need a living, resurrected, resurrection power-filled Jesus operating in and through his hands and feet, the body of Christ. That's not going to come unless you get the zeal, unless you get the passion, unless you start leaping in the womb. Amen. In the room. Leaping in the room. Now maybe it makes sense. Oh, but that's not my personality and it's not just who I am. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken. As a church body, we need to pray prayers that will shake things up.
Yes.
Folks, Jesus shook things up everywhere he went. He stirred things up everywhere he went. If we don't get stirred up in prayer and learn to shout in our spirit, folks, there's a good chance we're not going to shake things up either. And it got quiet. All right, it's a two-edged sword. Here comes part of it. Learning to pray with power, out loud, especially for warfare, and outwardly, expressing our praise. Why do we have to do that? The devil's not God. He's not omniscient, omnipresent. He can't read your thoughts. He can watch your actions, and he can read you like that, just like we can. I can look at you, and I can tell you what kind of mood you're in right like that. Come on. So can God. So can the devil. We need to learn to pray out loud, especially in warfare, and outwardly express our praise because it moves God, it shuts down the devil, and disciples those who need to see the fruit of prayer and praise in action. In other words, God's effect on a yielded vessel. What's God's effect on you? I used to be like this, and I still am. Passion, zeal, yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, allowing yourself to succumb to the power of God, being used by God, not even identifying or knowing even yourself, being able to operate in such a capacity. That's the presence of God Almighty inside of you. When you show back up, things get like this. I'm not saying that you can't be reverent. I'm not saying that you can't get on your face. There's a place for reverence. There's a place to get on your face. But let me tell you something. There's very little zeal in the church anymore. And when I read Revelation and I read what they're doing up in heaven right now and I read all these things, whenever we get there, there's thunder, there's lightning, there's loud shouts, there's cymbals, there's trumpets, there's everybody bowing, casting their crowns before them. Something's missing. And it's going to take a generation that's going to stand up and start shouting again in the Spirit. It doesn't have to be always loud in the natural. But don't be like the sons of Sceva. Be faithful and firm in your prayers, knowing that you have the power of God and the authority of God behind you. Oh God, if you will you do this? If it's in here, it's His will. His written word is His will. Please, Lord. Now some might say, well, I praise God inwardly. Okay. But if there's an abundance of praise in your heart, your mouth can't help but speak it out. Listen, I'm not trying to change. Yeah, I am. You're right, I am. Never mind, forget that. Strike that. I didn't say it fully, so it doesn't get included. You see, the Holy Spirit is in you. And when He is moved, it often produces uncontrollable laughter, joy, words of knowledge, praise, you name it. Even if you're normally shy and quiet. Why? Because you're not in control anymore. That's the whole point. If you remain the way you are and you're not changed, if you're not transformed, if you're not renewed in the Spirit, if you're not having the mind of Christ, it's because you just, not because you're not saved. I'm not telling you you're not saved today. You just haven't yielded. You've just not allowed. You've not watched. You've not accepted the belief that God can do these things today because it's not operating in you. You don't have the experience. But once you've tasted of it and you know that it's there, then you become labeled as charismatic and Pentecostal or crazy or John the Baptist or Jesus or any of the others who got passionate for God and were unafraid. Folks, babies don't naturally leap in wombs. But John was moved by the Spirit. Each one of us needs that. We need to be moved by the Spirit. I'm not sure why I put that skip in my step as I was walking. It just came to me. Maybe it's because I was just thinking about Christ. And when I was thinking about Him, my countenance changed. I started to smile and my hands went from here to here. There's a yieldedness that I don't think we've learned because we're so distracted, we're so weighed down, we're so traditionalized, we're just so concerned about the person sitting next to us. Who cares? Ask the guy at a Cleveland Browns football game who has a pig snout sitting on his nose, bare-chested in 20-degree weather, whether he cares about the guy sitting next to him. Somewhere along the line, he lost his inhibitions. Because why? Because of his zeal and his passion for his team. Well, where's your zeal and passion for your God? Unless, of course, you don't really believe that He rose again. In which then you are not in a place to change. Folks, outward praise and powerful prayer are fruits of a move of the Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Outward praise and powerful prayer are fruits of a move of the Spirit. And we are meant to be witnesses of a Spirit-filled life, not shut-ins that have no voice. Fruit. How does it occur? It occurs through yieldedness, regardless of your natural abilities or personalities. Don't think it can't happen because it's just not the way you are. Personally, I was an introvert. I couldn't even speak publicly. I'm seriously. My wife knew. I would never get in front of a crowd. I don't know if you remember by fifth and sixth grade when you had to give a oral report or whatever and stuff like that. Oh my gosh. I mean, I was drenched. And my shook like that. That doesn't change until you change. Until boldness and confidence and understanding and knowledge and all of that comes in you. And that doesn't come from any reserve you have. Remember the change in Peter and John when the Holy Spirit got control? Acts 4:13. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, Peter was just crying because he just denied Jesus three times. He was in the room weeping over what he had professed, even though it wasn't in his heart. When these guys saw Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them, this is the key, as having been with Jesus. When someone shakes your hand and comes up to you and he meets you at work or here at church or out at Ingles supermarket, let's get real. When you leave these double doors and all the facades come down and you take your tie off and you know you get home and you get into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and stuff, when you walk into someone's presence, when they leave your presence, will they recognize that they've just been with Jesus? Because we're supposed to be one with the Father, who's one with the Son, who's one with us, being yielded to the Holy Spirit, being controlled by the Holy Spirit, living for the Holy Spirit, having the mind of Christ, not caring about this world, but living for His world, and functioning here under the unction of the Holy Spirit, underneath that anointing. If that's really, 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 really happening Monday through Friday with you, then has somebody just walking into your prayer, should they not sense the prayer? Should not somebody leap because the scripture was just being read or because you just walked in? Should not the devil run when he sees you because you're coming with hands that heal and you're coming with a word of encouragement? Should not the world be shaken? Should not things be changed? Should not the rock be rolled away when we come into a room? We're the body of Christ. That means we're part of Him. He's the head. You can't separate the head from the body. It don't work. God's not going to choose to supernaturally just do all this stuff when He's given this assignment to His hands and feet. Where is the church? Where is the authority and power and zeal and passion and prayer? Where's the change in you? Why live for something that's going to die and be destroyed? This kingdom shall end. His kingdom shall reign forever. Folks, it's because of the change in us that people will be amazed and want to come to God and come to where God is working. They're going to want to come to where God is doing supernatural, beyond your norm things. Beyond the normal for you. When someone sees the non-normal, the supernatural, coming out of you, they're going to want what you have. They're going to be led to Jesus because He's going to be all over you. Are they really going to come to someone who's walking through life like everybody else in the world and you can't separate a Christian from anybody else? There's no joy. There's the same circumstances. It's in defeat and suffering and trial. Those things come when they come from the devil. When they come into your life, God uses them together for good to them that love Him. And the world sees a demonstration of how you can draw on patience and love and joy and the things that you had no handle on before. You're getting them from the Holy Spirit, and they say, where are you getting that from? It's a spiritual happening. This is not all happening playing out on a chessboard or a checkerboard in front of you in the physical, natural realm. This is going on in the spiritual realm, and you can connect with that Spirit every day if you desire. Where's your passion to get up in the morning and head to the prayer room? Let me try to wind this up. People have no interest in a place where everything has become formal, dry, and dead. Unless, of course, they're dead. The dead feel comfortable among the dead. But I'm telling you that the world has no interest in the dry and lifeless and formal. All the other religions competing against Christianity? What makes our word different than their word? I'll tell you what it is. Right there. Resurrection. Resurrection power, resurrection experience, resurrection demonstration. Otherwise, to the world, it's just an empty cross. To us, it's not an empty cross. Now the cross is empty because the Holy Spirit has filled us. We must change. This is my challenge for you today. If you're not changed, you've got to change. And it begins with dying to self and trusting God to raise us up as a new creation. That's not just a good scripture. It's by the power of His Spirit, just like Jesus trusted the Father to raise Him up when He went to the cross. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus, He came as a man. And He went to the cross bleeding like a man. And He hemorrhaged like a man. And His arteries and veins were burst open like a man. And His nerves were pinched like a man. And the crown of thorns that beat His brow was like a man. And He was being asphyxiated as a man. That was no stage. That was no made-up thing. He did that. He went to the cross. Not so that He could remain that way. Folks, He had to trust. Listen to me. Jesus, in His humanity, had to trust that the Father would get Him off that cross and roll that stone away and bring life back in to that body. He was so anguished. Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? He was hurting, folks, for the sins of the world. For the whole were yours, personally. He really did experience that. But he knew that the suffering would not last. Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. He knew that in the flash of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, He'd be in the presence of His kingdom, restored, given unto Him to give whoever He desires. And the best part about it all is He chooses to give it to you if you'll just give Him your heart. What could you possibly give up for Him? What He's asking of you is the world. Give it up. My kingdom is not of this world. The focus that you're going to have if you want the benefits of the kingdom are going to have to change. You're going to have to change. On the inside. And I'm telling you, when you change on the inside, it can't help but get to your hands and feet and your smiling muscles. And if you're not, I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you, yield. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, God. For me personally, yield me, Lord. That helps. Thank you, Maria. That helps. When I see that. And you know the beauty of that is that it's not like the Catholic cross. Excuse me for saying that. He's not on there. He's not on there anymore. Folks, Jesus did this physically so we could do it spiritually. You don't literally die. We die to self. We die to the soul. We die to what the Greek calls psyche. The psyche life. The self life. The let me have my pleasure. Let me live life the way I want to live. I don't need Jesus. I want to experience. I've been in a Christian home all my life. Time for me to rebel. I want to experience what the real world has experienced. I'm tired of this holy roller stuff. I'm tired of singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. I want more of what everybody else. Everybody else seems to be prospering. Folks, you're in the wrong room. This is not His kingdom. You're here by grace and mercy. You're here, God having given you what I wrote at the very beginning. Life and death have been placed before you. Heaven and hell have been placed before you. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. And if you're not ignorant, you'll understand that this life only offers you best at 100 years. Maybe 120. You will face eternity forever. And the choice that you make now is profound because it will affect eternity. A kingdom with no end. Jesus did it physically so that we could do this spiritually. We could come to an altar such as this and just repent. Change the way we think. Change our heart. will myself to clap my hands, will myself to dance with my feet, will myself to get on my face before God, will myself to do whatever God asks me to do. And He may have you sit there like this, especially if you're in a place that requires you be like this. I would suggest putting passionate people in your life. You want to change? Get around the people where the change exists. And have traveled the road. And have met Jesus. And knows what it means through trial and circumstance to live above it. Thank you, Jesus. When you do this, folks, when you change, the result is real Pentecost. Real Pentecost. Not Pentecostalism. Folks, the world is tired of imitations that bear no fruit. They want to see people who have a living Christ within, filled with the Holy Ghost power. It's time to shout at mountains in faith as we yield to the power of God within us, for whom it is nothing for Him to raise the dead or eliminate disease. That's heaven's agenda. It's time to shake things up, just like Pentecost. Christ is risen. Has He risen in you? Are you stirred yet?
Yes.
3. And I don't have the time to get the rest of you stirred. Anybody leaping for joy in their spirit that this bears witness, that they know that they need to change, that you're not ashamed to admit that, you know what, I've been living life too much for myself. Less of me, more of you, God. John said, less of me, more of you. Are you willing to make that prayer? Because if you say that prayer, look out, things will start to shake under your feet as you speak it. Folks, engage the Holy Spirit with your passion. That's the only way it's going to come. Am I working it? Yes, you have to work it sometimes. You've got to discipline your flesh, like Paul said. You've got to discipline yourself. You may not feel like smiling. You may not feel like laughing. You may not feel like going over and witnessing to somebody. You may not feel like going to work today. But you discipline your flesh to do so because you know it needs to be done. And after a while, the body will catch up to your risen spirit. When Christ arises in you first, this flesh will eventually rise up. It'll eventually go back to the dust. But in the meantime, it'll meet you wherever your spirit is.
Right.
But if your spirit's down here, and your emotions are down here, and everything else is down here, your body is going to limply follow.
Right.
Because your spirit and your emotions, your mind, control every part of your body. So we conclude with this. The power that raised Jesus from the dead must be at work in you, not self-effort. And as this glorious resurrection power surges through your being, you will be freed from all your weaknesses, and you will become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So I say this to you, church. Keep praying and worshiping with people of passion, and Pentecost will come. Suddenly! Suddenly, the atmosphere was changed. The place became filled with the wind of the Spirit. They began speaking in tongues. I want that. I want it. I don't want a fake. I don't want an imitation. I don't want Pentecostalism. I don't want charismaticism, if that's a word. I don't want to do it just because everybody else is doing it. I want a real shaking. I want a real transformation. I want a real Pentecost that takes place in me. I can't do it for you, but I want it in me. But I don't want to be alone on that road to Emmaus. I need you all walking with me. I can't do this by myself. It's terrible to be alone. It's terrible when you're at home and you got nobody to pray for you, nobody to hug you, nobody to put the hands on you as Jesus would. It's not a good place to be. You got to surround yourself with people of passion, with people of faith, with people that want to pray loud, that people that want to shout out loud, that people that want more than what they are. If you don't have the desire, you're not going to get it. God is going to grant you your every request should you follow Him in all of your ways. Hallelujah. It may seem like Friday night, but Sunday's on the way. Sunday is on the way. You got something, I know, and I'm going to sit down and shut up.
Hallelujah. What will you do with this, saith the Spirit of God? What will you do with me? What will you do? Will you stand and be free? Will you walk as you have walked?